Welcome to the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. I'm Pastor Schulze. Today, we want to go into the Christmas story. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for thy divine anointing on this declaration of thy sacred word in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to mention to you some of the things I marvel at when it comes to the birth of our Savior Jesus, and that is particularly in what preceded it. It says in the Bible, I quote, "It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed," unquote. Now it's interesting to notice that this is the first time a census was taken in that part of the world. It never happened before. Secular scholars tell you that the reason for the census of all the people of the Roman Empire was that, well, Caesar Augustus just wanted to know how many people he had, because at this time the empire was at its largest ever in all of history. And you know, we understand that most pastors want to know how big their churches are and how many generals want to know how many troops they have. So maybe for some that's something to brag about. But from the divine perspective, from God's perspective, there was only one reason for the census, and that was to bring Mary and Joseph from their town of Nazareth down to Bethlehem for the Christ child to be born in the city of David in Bethlehem to fulfill prophecy. So God did speak to Mary and to Joseph about this child to be born, and one would think that God could speak to them again and tell them, since they didn't know the scripture that well, quote, saying, Joseph, quote, "This baby is supposed to be born in Bethlehem, so get down there to Bethlehem," unquote. But God didn't. God didn't speak to them about that. Have you ever marveled as to the things that God tells us and then the things that he doesn't tell us? Have you ever felt that, well, now, if I ever needed to hear the voice of God, to have some reassurance, to have some instructions or some confirmation, now is the time, and you find heaven absolutely silent. I have the notion that Joseph waited and waited and waited for this baby to be born before he would have to go to Bethlehem to meet the deadline for the census, because it was 3 to 5 days of a donkey ride, sort of like going down or along the Appalachian spine, from Nazareth to Bethlehem on this rugged road. My friend, you don't want a woman who has a due date in her purse to go on a 3-day donkey ride, which is either up or down or left or right all the time for a long time. I have the feeling that Joseph and Mary waited and trusted that this baby would come and come and come before they had to meet the deadline down there in Bethlehem. But God did not speak. The baby did not come. So, my friend, it says in verse 5 of this text that Joseph had to go down to Bethlehem to be taxed with Mary's spouse, his wife being great with child, being fully pregnant. And so, since the deadline was coming and the baby was not moving, Joseph had one of two choices, either to disobey the law of the land and stay home, or to obey the law of the land and risk having a baby in some ditch, in some hedge, or some home somewhere between Nazareth and Bethlehem. What was Joseph to do? Heaven was silent. Oh, the angel could only have spoken again and said, "Everything's going to be all right. You will not have the baby until you get to Bethlehem." But heaven was silent. So Joseph did what all of us would do when heaven does not speak and there's a law to be obeyed. We obey that law, whether it be a law of the land or the state. We obey that law and trust the Lord for the rest. And so this trusting man and woman were on their way all the way down, or should we say up, to Bethlehem. Oh, I marvel at the submission, the submissive spirit of Joseph and Mary. Then, here's another thing I marvel at the reception that Joseph and Mary received in Bethlehem. In the Gospel of John, it says that he, meaning Jesus, came to his own, and his own received him not. This, my friend, was Bethlehem amongst all other places. So when they got to the inn in Bethlehem, possibly the only inn, because the prophet Micah tells us that Bethlehem was the least or the least significant town in Israel, that there was a sign on the door of the motel that said, no vacancy. Now, let me ask you something. If you were God at that particular time, and if you had sent your son down to earth in flesh and blood to save all mankind, I mean the Savior, the greatest person ever to be born in this world, and there would be a sign out there that said, no vacancy, what would you do? Well, I know what some of you would do. You'd burn up the innkeeper or the inn or the whole town of Bethlehem. You'd say, now, Pastor Schultz, I wouldn't do that. Now, just wait a minute. Do you know that Jesus had two disciples by the name of James and John, that when the Samaritans would not hear the Savior, they said, let us call fire from heaven and burn up the whole place. My friend, that's inside of all of us, unless we walk with God. But oh, how wonderful God is, how wonderful Joseph and Mary were. God, rather than becoming resentful, God, rather than becoming revengeful, simply said to himself, I can settle for less. If I can't get my son born in a 5-star hotel, maybe we can find some other place, like a Motel 6, or maybe a place out in the wilderness on the edge of town where we can find some place there where the birth of my son can take place. I say again, isn't God wonderful? Wonderfully accommodating. God, my friend, can settle for far less than he is worthy of. God can lower his expectations and still be happy and still accomplish his mission with mankind. I want to ask you, can you do that? Can you be happy with less than what you deserve or think deserve, or what you think you have the right to have? Can you settle with less than that and still be happy? Oh, my friend, it says Jesus came unto his own. His own received him not. That's a time to be upset when you see that no vacancy sign on the door. Oh, my friend, we don't have your name. We don't have your reservation number. We don't have a room for you. When that happens to you here down on earth, are you then sweet and kind and say to the innkeeper, that's quite all right. Are your feathers ruffled just a little bit? Are you going to see the manager or call headquarters and hand in your complaint? Or are you just going to go on and say, well, we'll just stay across the street in some little dinky inn, and we will be just as happy there? I hope we're getting something out of this. How God can do that, and how God did do that, why can't you do that? I'll tell you, the reason why you can't do that, or you don't do that, is because you don't have the Savior living in your heart. My friend, take off that no vacancy sign on your heart and let him come in. God's mission was to send Jesus into the world, regardless of the obstacles, regardless of the rejection, regardless of the no vacancy sign, my friend. He was going to send his son into the world at any cost, so he might save the world, and he never left his vision. He never quit his mission. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Glory to God. That's the mission. And he was willing to either jump over obstacles or bypass them to get his mission accomplished. You see, a lot of people are movers like this. God sends them to a church, And then all of a sudden, if the pastor decides to stop the Sunday school or to make a change in the youth program, says, I believe the Lord wants us to quit that or change this and that. You know, most believers say, well, we're going to quit church, or they make a ruckus, create a division. Say, we're going to go somewhere else. We just have to get our way, get it our way. Many worshipers cannot master these obstacles of having no Sunday school or changes of youth or this and that. They will simply quit. They can't have it their way. My friend, if you really are of God, godly, you can handle all kinds of obstacles. You can be graceful. You can be accommodating. If God sent you to a place, then you stay there and don't let circumstances push you out. So possibly someone there, maybe the innkeeper, gave direction to Joseph and Mary to go down this back alley and then turn left and then go through across another alley. And when you come to the edge of town, you'll find a cave to which the town's shepherds take the animals to rest. And there you might be able to have Mary bring forth her child. Oh, glory to God in the highest, my friends. Jesus' first resting place was not a five-star hotel of some kind. Jesus' first resting place, his first night, was not even spent in the Motel 6. It was spent in a cave. He was laid in a manger. Isn't God accommodating? Jesus was born in humility. He lived in humility, and his whole ministry was and is one of humility, of accommodation, of climbing over obstacles or removing obstacles, of walking about obstacles, but always of keeping his mission in mind, why he came to the earth. Oh, what a marvelous and wonderful Savior we have. So, if there's nothing you can remember about this little sermon I gave you, just remember this. Keep your mission in mind. God has a call in every one of you, and don't let obstacles, don't let hard places, dark nights, storms, roadblocks, detours make you quit what God's called you on the earth for. Be accommodating, be flexible, be willing to lower your expectations when it's time to do so, be willing to sleep in caves, be willing to become a refugee even if you have to go all the way to Egypt and back, to be rejected in your hometown when you preach your first sermon, where they would try to cast you off a cliff. Be flexible, except in one thing, and that is doing the will of God. So be faithful in your mission. Don't you ever call fire from heaven to come down on anybody. Don't ever become resentful. Don't ever become revengeful. Don't become critical. But let it also be said of you that you live a life of humility. Your ministry is a life of humility. Your whole life is based on the wonderful love of God, in which we all have access to the Father through Jesus Christ, our Son. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will burn these divine truths that you've given us today into our hearts and become true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I am Pastor Schulze. With the Call to Obedience radio ministry, it comes to you every week at this time over the station. Goodbye now, until then.